Welcome to None of This Is Real,
the podcast for all things mysterious and weird.
I'm Doomsday Domini.
I'm Sarah Sinkhole.
You cracked yourself up that time.
I don't know what just happened, if I'm going to be honest. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening.
It's okay.
It's all a blur.
Who does?
Nobody. They're lying if they say they do. They're liars.
Or they're a cult leader.
That's probably it. There's a lot of those floating around, turns out.
Well, hey, I have a question for you. And I've never...
Oh my God.
I've asked it to you in several minutes, so I'm going to...
You've never asked me a question. This is crazy.
Has anything weird or mysterious happened to you lately?
Yes. In fact, I do have a crazy weird thing to tell you about. It's so funny that you would ask me that. I had a... What, I guess, is Linda calling them Sarah Sinkhole moments? Because I had another one.
Yes. A classic Sarah Sinkhole moment.
Okay, classic. This one started out with... So before the moment... Life was already weird because last week, one day, I was wearing shorts and a tank top outside in the outside part of where I live, out in the yard. I was outside.
Where were you outside?
I was outside with nothing on, barely anything on. And it felt phenomenal. Okay. That night, it rained so much that the yard was a swamp. There were puddles all over the yard. And then the next morning, there were hours of snow. And 40 mile an hour gusts of wind. This all
that
happened.
Is weird.
Yes, it was. I felt so weird. The weather lately has been making me feel like this surreal, eerie thing, and I'm not loving it. Okay, so it snowed a bunch. There was a little on the ground, but the ground was so wet and warm that it didn't stick, but it was all melted by the afternoon because it was full bright sunshine and it was calm as hell. And I was like freaked out. Also, I was doing the thing I said I shouldn't do, which was binging a new creepy podcast.
Oh, which one?
This is called Unwell. It's like an audio drama about this town and this person who goes back to their hometown to take care of their mom and all this crazy stuff happens. It's really fun.
Okay.
So I've been listening to that for like 2 or 3 days before this. Okay. Never once in the show had they mentioned snow that I can remember. Okay, so the morning that it snowed, I had just said to my child, oh, it looks like the flurries have started. And then I got a text on my phone from one of my sisters of a picture of 5 inches of snow. And it said, it was just supposed to be flurries. And then at that very moment, as I was reading that on the podcast, someone said, it's just supposed to be flurries.
No.
And I was like, I'm dead. Everything is a simulation. Get me out of here.
We are living in a simulation. You just proved it.
Yeah. Yep. It was wild. That was a really good one because it was three things. Boom, boom, boom. I said it. My sister said it. The podcast said it.
No way. I don't believe you. You made that
wild.
Up.
No, I didn't.
I'm kidding. I do believe you. I don't think you would lie to me about that.
I'm not one of those liars who says they know what's going on.
You're not a cult leader.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe someday.
That is weird. I have been feeling like the weather lately, it was freaking me out too, because it's supposed to be, I mean, it feels like winter up here now, but it's supposed to have been cold for a little while and it hasn't been. So I just have this image of when you want to dig into some yummy ice cream, but it's kind of melty.
Yeah.
And like there's a puddle around it.
Everything's just off.
What I'm in.
I feel you. Yeah. Well, I got made fun of by my own child because every time I talked to anybody in those few days after that happened, I was like, the day before it snowed, I was in a tank top and shorts. And he said to me, Mom, you keep saying that. You've said that like 7 times. Like, so if you want to have all of your bullshit called out, have a child.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Calling you out.
Constant. It's constant.
Well, what do we do to our parents, though? Do we not call them out? Because I think we do.
Oh, my God. How do you think I got such a good Debbie impression? It was from mocking her constantly.
Oh, my God. It is spot on. It is spot on.
I mean, come on. Who else am I supposed to mock?
Your dad.
I do that, too, but it doesn't sound like him. I just make him sound stupid.
I don't know. I feel like you do a good Joel.
Oh, thank you.
All you have to do is bark your own name, and there it is.
That's true. Oh, my God. Okay, before I start doing impressions of my own parents, who no one knows but you, what weird thing are you going to tell me about?
Okay.
It better not be about my dad.
It's not about your dad at all, although okay. I have had a weird thing about your dad before.
Yeah, everybody has. It's fine.
So my dog's doing something weird again. This dog acts funny. I think he senses I think he senses disturbances in like the force fields around us.
But my dog is an empath, so
no, he started doing this thing the other day where he will be standing outside the door and he'll stick his head through the dog door and cry.
Oh no, what the hell is that about?
I don't know. The first time he did it, I assumed something was wrong with him and I ran over and I was like, what's the matter?
Yeah.
And I thought he hurt his paw or something maybe, and he was sticking his head through and trying to get our attention. And then he did it a few more times, and then I went into the room where the dog door is and I sat there and called him for like 2 minutes and he would not come to me. He wouldn't come through the dog door. He just stood there and cried.
Ooh, no.
And I was like, do I have a haunted dog door?
Yes. Yep.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a Paul. It is weird. Poltergeist.
No. No.
Sorry.
I don't know what he's doing. If anyone knows, please tell me, because I have
my first thought is there's like a dangerous, scary thing outside, like a bear or a coyote or a human he doesn't know skulking.
But then
around.
Wouldn't he come in the house? I feel like he'd want to come on in.
No, he's trying to tell you there's something out there. There's something out there, mother.
He's not that brave. He would come hide.
That's true.
He wouldn't stay out there.
He is kind of a wuss.
He's a big wuss. He's a 70-pound wuss. So,
well, then maybe it was that he had, you don't know, there's a secret dog lover. He has a secret lover. And he's like pining away for them through the dog door, like, oh, my lover.
That's what it is.
Aww.
My dog is such a hopeless romantic.
That's true. That is really true about that dog.
He's very sweet. Very sweet.
Except for when he's pissing directly into the other dog's eyeballs.
Wait, no. That's the other way around.
Oh, you're talking about the one that got pissed on. Sorry, I got confused.
I'm talking about the big dog. I'm talking about my big 70-pound lab mix. Who is a giant baby and gets peed on by the little dog.
The fuck boy. So both of your dogs have now acted strangely around your house, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Styx has done it multiple times.
You have a demon infestation?
No.
It's probably like squirrels or something. Dogs are weird. And they're, you know what? Love them. Not that bright. Not your dogs in particular, but, you know, dogs in general.
There are certain things they just will never be able to figure out. I don't
yes,
know.
That's true.
Maybe there's something, maybe there was something on the dog door that was like sticking out and scratching them. I don't know. Puck didn't care. So anyway, it was weird and it spooked me a little bit.
Yeah, that would have spooked me too. I just hope either your dog reunites with his lover or that spooky demon bear leaves your woods. Sometime soon.
I think that's the lover. I think he's pining away. I like that theory. Okay,
that's cute.
If that's all.
I think that's it. We're done. Goodbye.
Bye. See you later. No, wait. You have to talk about your version of the thing we talked about last week. Hollow stuff.
Yes. Hollow stuff. And in this case, it is the hollow moon.
So last week I talked about the hollow earth, and now I think we're going to enjoy yours a little more. I
think
am.
So. There are still some annoying connections, but it's a little more chill. I tried to keep it chill because I knew what Hollow Earth was going to do to me. And boy, did it do it to me. Okay. I'm going to cite my sources now. Hollow Moon Hypothesis. Is there evidence the moon is hollow by cryptid? Okay. And that is the person's name. That's the author of the article's name. I was very confused. I thought cryptid was like a category. And then I was like, but why would cryptid be under, like, why would the hollow moon be under cryptid? I was very confused until I figured out that is the author's name. Cryptid, I need to read you the description that they have written for themselves because I want to be friends with cryptid. I'm a writer with interests in paleontology, anthropology, zoology, biology, astronomy, cryptozoology, and the paranormal. I write articles to amuse myself and learn more about the things I am interested in.
Oh my God, Cryptid needs to listen to our podcast.
I am serious, because that's why we make a podcast, to amuse ourselves and learn more about stuff we're interested in.
And hopefully we amuse other people, but if we don't,
I mean, that's a bonus.
We still have fun. Yeah.
Okay, enough about my platonic crush on a person I'll never know. The second source is Can the Moon Be Hollow by Axel Batista. And this was, interestingly enough, from the UNC Greensboro's from the UNC Greensboro's newspaper called The Carolinian.
Cool.
And of course, and as always, and forever and forever. Y'all know how fired up some of these conspiracy theories get me. So for the sake of my sanity and hopefully yours, I'm going to talk about the more likely science-based theories before I get to the eye-roll-inducing bullshit. And these are the theories that mainstream science agrees are the most likely, or some of the most likely.
Okay.
About where the moon came from. Where'd it come from? How'd it get there? What's up? What's going on? I'll tell you. So the Earth and the Moon could have formed simultaneously in the primordial accretion disk.
Wow.
And while I obviously already know what that means, I'm just going to real quick tell you guys, because you probably don't know.
You were born knowing what that means.
I was born in the primordial accretion disk, just like the Earth and the Moon.
That tracks.
It definitely tracks. So I think we all were in this case, actually. Okay, so this is a structure formed by diffuse material in orbital motion around a massive central body.
Okie dokie.
Got it?
Totally.
This should be an indicator that there is going to be some brain-bending science that I totally get. I get it. I definitely get it.
She said very convincingly.
Okay, so that's one theory. The other theory is millions of years ago, the moon was just a simple, humble little asteroid that floated a little too close to the Earth, got stuck in the gravitational pull, and has just been revolving around us ever since. These make sense with our understanding of the universe thus far. And this is the most likely theory that us humans have come up with, and this is that the moon was formed when a Mars-sized asteroid collided with Earth and the resulting debris accumulated into what is now the moon. Okay, and that's called the giant impact theory. That is the most widely accepted theory. And there is no definite answer, obviously. These are all theories.
We weren't there to see it. Nobody was.
Get off my back. I know I was born in the primordial accretion disk, but that was a long time ago, okay? Memory is, like, not reliable, so stop asking me.
And most people don't remember their birth. I guess there might be some people
That's also true.
Like, that kind of gets washed away.
Definitely. By all the childhood trauma. Okay. So, as we know from 124 episodes thus far, when there is no scientifically proven answer, and sadly, even when there is, some people will fill that void with wild, scary, and ridiculous ideas. Or, as my crush Cryptid puts it, quote, "Of course, a hollow moon could well be a mundane geological feature that pretty much means nothing, but that's boring."
Can't just have that.
No, that's boring. Why would we do that? So as far as I could find, the idea of a hollow moon first appeared in 1901 in H.G. Wells' book, The First Men in the Moon. Though whenever somebody says that, like, this idea first came from this person and this one, I always have to imagine some, like, random person who didn't have a platform whatsoever just, like, wondering this by their fire sometime in human history. Like, I wonder if the moon's hollow.
That reminds me of, yes, you're right. And it also reminds me that if you bring up, try this next time you see my parents, bring up the game Balderdash, the one where you get a word and you have to make up the definitions.
That's a fun game, yeah.
Decide which one is real. They apparently invented that back in the day. They made that up.
Oh, what? I cannot wait to talk to them about that. I'm excited.
They said they used to play it before it was a published game. I guess you would say published, but
interesting.
Anyway, yes, someone's usually thought of an idea before you had a friend publish it.
Right. They didn't have a platform. That's what I'm saying. I had a friend who thought that they invented the word delicious when they were a child. Oh, this person's younger than me, so obviously not.
Oh, I know for a fact that I invented, made up a joke while I was, I remember the moment exactly when I was like 13 and I was putting clothes in the dryer and I made up a joke, and now I've seen it elsewhere and I'm like, I fucking made that joke up.
That's so, so cool to think about, though. Like the idea that a bunch of other people are having a similar thought to you, and like you're having, oh, it's so interesting. I can think about it all day.
We're all connected, y'all.
Oh my God, aren't we though? Oh, it's beautiful. Okay. Anyway, so H.G. Wells was inspired by earlier fiction about a hollow earth. So my idea, as far as zeitgeist goes, was born from your idea.
Yes.
This is an idea and a hypothesis. This is not a theory. this is not a fact, okay? And so then, so that was 1901, and then 69 years later.
Okay, old perv.
I'm just an old pervert.
Sitting on the porch, perving away.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So in 1970, Michael Vasine and Alexander Sherbakov of the Soviet Academy of Sciences wrote an article entitled, "Is the Moon the Creation of Alien Intelligence?" where they suggested that the moon was actually a spaceship. And I'm going to talk about that a lot more in just a second. Also, several sources I looked at said that this was published in the Soviet equivalent of Reader's Digest. So I guess a grain of salt.
Wow. Okay. They had an equivalent.
All right. Is it Reader's Digest still a thing?
I think it is still a thing. Okay. I think they still publish them, but I might be wrong. But it was a staple in our house in the late 80s. God.
Every time I took a shit, I was reading bad jokes about the military for some reason.
You know, it was before we had memes to scroll through.
Yes, Reader's Digest is the OG meme. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Please.
Sorry, I said that out loud. Okay, all right. So that's where the idea came from, supposedly. Now I'm going to talk about the hypothesis.
Hypothesize.
Yes, those. Because there's, of course, there is more than just one whack-ass idea about the hollow moon. There can't be just one. That's crazy. So like you said about the hollow earth, either it is entirely hollow like a ping pong ball with a thin, hard crust, or there is at least substantial areas of empty space in there somewhere.
Little moon pockets.
Yeah, little pockets in the moon. So, you know, that doesn't sound so wild or unbelievable. It's the moon. It's not, you know, it's far away. We haven't looked at it that much. So possibly, sure, there could be empty spaces inside of it. But like Cryptid said, that's boring. So I'm going to spice it up for you. You ready?
Yes. Spice it up for me.
So the moon could have been artificially created by any number of culprits. Okay. It could have been anybody. Like, it could be an Earth government's secret base. And obviously, that's usually on us. That's our bad, America. We did do that. We made a secret base on the moon. Or, like those dudes in 1970 said, it's a friggin' spaceship. But, exciting as this idea might seem, do not start believing on this one, please. Because I'm not sure you want to share a belief with David Icke. Or maybe you do. I don't know you. I don't know you want to. Yeah, don't, but maybe don't. Anyway, old Dave Icke thinks that the moon is a reptilian space station, of course.
Naturally.
And they're just, like, hanging out up there, controlling our thoughts, controlling and manipulating our thoughts. How's that hit you?
It hits me the wrong way, I guess I should say. I'm going to turn around and see if it hits me somewhere else.
Goodbye. So as far as we know, as far as we can comprehend with our tiny human brains, space travel would take for fucking ever to travel to Earth from somewhere where we haven't discovered where there would possibly be light would take for fucking ever, unless you have a conveniently placed wormhole or some sort of super duper advanced technology that we can't even begin to imagine, right? So some people have suggested that the moon is what is called a generational spaceship. Okay, so this would be an enormous ship that would have to be either the size of a city, county, maybe even a whole continent, just an enormous spaceship that would sustain aliens over generations. So the aliens, they're inside the moon right now, as you and I are recording this podcast, would be the descendants of aliens who left their home planet, I don't know how many millions, thousands of years ago.
Okay, yeah, they settled there because it would take too long to go back.
Right, they had to build a city ship. Again, cool idea. Love it. Oh my God, I would read the story and I would be so excited about it. So it could be aliens in a generational ship, or according to Christopher Knight and Alan Butler, who wrote Who Built the Moon in 2005.
Who built the moon?
It could have been that humans from the future traveled back in time to build the moon in order to safeguard human evolution.
What? We've got time travel in the house. What's up?
Time travel. Pew, pew, pew. Yep.
Is this still David Icke's theory?
No. David Icke is firmly in the reptilians live in there and they're brainwashing us or whatever. I don't know what they're doing.
Okay, so I can have a little more fun with these theories. Good.
Yes, these are more fun. These are more fun because I don't know that all people who believe in the spaceship moon hypothesis think they're reptilians or like David Icke, you know. So then I read the comments on Cryptid's article.
No, I'm so sorry.
And I have included a few juicy bits from these comments. This first one elaborates on the government base idea. And if I suspend my disbelief, which believe it or not, I am capable of doing this, I can do that. This is the most convincing of the commenters. I have to get in character. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Well, after several years' research, experience, and dedication, I have come to the conclusion that this multitude of conspiracy theories about our moon, it's hollow, the landings were fake, it's an alien base, it's a spacecraft, etc., are probably all disinformation. I say this because I believe that this is an all-intentional distraction to misdirect away from Project Horizon, a U.S. plan to build a military outpost on the moon. Project Horizon never went ahead in an official capacity, but may have done so in an unofficial capacity. Project Horizon was proposed in 1959. Having said that, my conclusion does not explain the Lunar Anomalies Report, Technical Memorandum TR-277, which shows anomalous activity on the moon as far back as 1579.
Wow, bro.
Don't you love it so much?
Conspiracy bro.
I didn't know how I was going to read that. That just came out of me.
I'm just channeling a character. I'm a vessel.
That was a lot. That was a lot. I love it. It's like, it's probably not a thing. He sounded super reasonable at first. And then it was like.
Yeah. At first.
Actually,
it's the government.
What was it called? Project Horizon?
Project Horizon, yes, which, you know, we could put that on the topic list and go down that rabbit hole later, but I could not bring myself to do it this time. But I did. If you tell me there is a Lunar Anomalies Report, you know I have to look at it. So I found it. And I looked at that. Oh my God. I looked at that report, and there are like hundreds and hundreds of entries, and they do date back to 1540. So this is a chronological catalog of reported lunar events or temperature changes on the moon recorded between 1540 and 1967.
Oh my God. That's a lot. 1540. Yeah,
like, right? And that's why I'm like, grain of salt with the majority of these reports. Who are they coming from? I don't know. It's just a table. It's very brief descriptions of each of these instances. A lot of them are like, a bright light happened on the moon surface. And it's like,
yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, so do the more modern ones, do they have more information?
Not really, because it was only until 1967, and we didn't get up there till what year was it?
69, baby!
69! Oh, my God. Okay.
Let's go be immature on the moon.
Now I'm going to read a second theory from the comments. And this one is all over the place. This person has a lot going on in their brain, but it was interesting. So I'm going to go with it. So this person says,
ancient Earth civilization built it. Geo/space engineering, or moon is composed of pumice stone / lava stone. Then why impacts are so shallow? Maybe due to the powder-like soil on surface? Less density explaining why the moon is so big and close to Earth compared to the other satellites planet from the solar system.
What?
Yeah. So an ancient Earth civilization built it or engineered it? Or the moon is made of pumice stone that you, like, scrub your dead skin off your feet with.
Yeah, so it's easier
porous.
To...
Porous?
It's porous, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got it.
Yeah. And the award for the wildest idea goes to this commenter. And they say,
souls that are put on Earth, which is a prison planet. We have our memories erased when we die by a contraption built by the old empire, type of bad alien. And our souls are put back into humans over and over again. When we die, our soul is drawn to an area, possibly the moon or Mars, where we are electrically sapped, and this erases our memories of who we are and where we're from. The domain are the good aliens, Greys. And we were all created billions of years ago in a far-off place in the Milky Way galaxy at a trillion-year-old factory.
Why does it have to be a factory? It all sounded so mystical and spacey. Right? And then there's a factory all of a sudden at the very end?
Pumping smoke into the air. Machines chugging.
we're all these beings that...
On a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
I'm crying a little bit.
Just hit me with the factory there at the very last second.
Right? It was like reincarnation and souls and memories, and then that's all in a factory, though. A really, really old factory.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Those are all of the hypotheses. Statistics. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about the evidence for and against, because, you know, balance. That's what we're all about here, obviously. So a lot of people say because one side of the moon is always facing away from the Earth, that makes it a very convenient way to come and go without detection, which I guess, hypothetically, sure, I'll take it. I'll take that one. I didn't feel like arguing that point because there's so many points. So, and there's a thing that a lot of people find to be the most convincing piece of evidence, which is an experiment that was conducted by the Apollo mission. So they placed seismic sensors on the surface of the moon. And then a spent liftoff stage of the lunar module was sent crashing back down into the moon's surface, which caused massive reverberations.
Shit!
I was trying so hard to sound like I'm saying things. This caused massive reverberations, like the ringing of a bell. And that's how they put it in the report.
Okay.
Okay, and each time this experiment was repeated on subsequent missions... using the same thing, a spent rocket stage, the moon would, quote, ring or reverberate, sometimes for several hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a giant singing bowl.
Oh, my God. That would be cool. But so obviously this use of this one word, ringing like a bell, this phrase, has led people to assume that the moon is hollow, which makes a certain kind of sense. I mean, hollow things ring that. When you strike them. But if you ask NASA, they say that the description of ringing like a bell is a misunderstood analogy and is not a literal description.
Okay.
Yeah, which also makes sense. But like if you're talking... No. But if you're doing a scientific report, don't use confusing analogies. Don't use analogies unless they're accurate.
I guess. I mean, they were probably just trying to describe something that didn't have a good description. I don't know.
I get it. But these like... But people will find that, obviously, and then make a whole thing about it.
I know.
Four words. Anyway, but so they say that's a misunderstanding. It didn't literally ring like a bell. But they do acknowledge that the moonquakes, as they call them, are super weird. They say smaller quakes tend to last longer than similar ones on Earth. And surprisingly, their interpretation of this anomaly is not like, oh, wow, the moon must be a hollow reptilian spacecraft.
What? NASA's not on board with these ideas?
No, no. Instead, their interpretation of the weird anomalies is that, oh, my gosh, there is so much more to learn about the moon.
Yeah, man. I do wonder what a moonquake is.
Right? Doesn't that sound so, like, magical and interesting? I want to know.
It's kind of scary.
It's a little bit spooky. Oh, yeah. But anyway, so that one's like, okay, I get why people would think that. But I know someone out there is listening and going, oh, wow, you believe what a government agency is telling us? You believe that? And to that, I have included a little government cover-up rant. So bear with me, okay? I wrote this after doing research and I was irritated a little bit. So I have a lot of questions. I have questions, they're all questions, about the supposed government cover-up idea, okay? If intelligent life traveled all that way thousands of years ago with such advanced technology, how can I possibly believe that our puny, ineffective human governments could possibly successfully cover that up, first of all?
Right. Unless they wanted to go along with the cover-up.
That'd be the only way, but why would they?
I don't know.
I want to know that, too. So, okay. Or, how about this? Those beings are just hanging out in a dead, hollow, tiny rock while looking down at our glorious planet that we're killing right there.
They'd want to move in.
You would want to be here, and you would probably want to tell us, hey, y'all are fucking shit up. Maybe put a pause on that whole thing, and let's make things a little better. Or they wouldn't want to make contact at all. They would come all of that way and never want to make contact, whether it was malicious or peaceful. Why would they come out there if they didn't want to contact people or kill us?
I would think somebody would eventually make contact. Even if it was against the rules, you know, one of those aliens would be like, yeah, but I want to be where the people are. You know?
a rogue mermaid alien. Why wouldn't have happened? Okay, and to that, I'm sure people are saying, what about all the people who say they've seen aliens and spacecraft or whatever, okay? I'll get to that in a second. Hold on.
Okay, I'm holding.
Okay. So if there were a cover-up, why would NASA, on their website, for anyone to see, list hundreds and hundreds of anomalies about the moon? Why would they even entertain that? Unless it's misinformation, which, you know, our government does love to do that. All governments, I guess. Why would they allow anybody to publish books or be interviewed or publicly talk about their alien experiences? If you have the power to hide a fucking spaceship moon full of aliens, then how do you not have the power to disappear Betty and Barney Hill or Travis Walton or anybody else?
Right, right, right.
Right? These are questions I have. Okay? So let me just be clear. It is less that I don't believe the hollow moon or alien abduction stories and more that I have zero faith that our governments could pull anything off.
I know, right?
That's what that is about. It's not about, like, never would aliens come here and never would the moon be hollow. It's like,
it's not a cover-up.
Right.
Gotcha.
All right, yeah, no, the rant is over now.
Right there with you.
I figured you would be. Okay, I need to take a deep breath, and I was really ranting there. I went in hard. Let me come back
down.
You
went in hard and fast, and you got it done. I'm proud of you. I would slap you on the butt right now if I could while you walk into the locker room.
I feel your spiritual butt slap.
I'm over here doing the slap motion with my hand.
I see you slapping. Oh, my God. Okay, back to evidence. Back to evidence. I'm not going to...
Evidence.
We're done. Okay, so even the biggest craters on the moon are actually relatively shallow, which is interesting. And some people think that that means that there may be a solid, impenetrable hull beneath the surface of the moon. Okay. Or there's other options here. It could be that the craters only appear so shallow because of the highly curved surface of the moon. Or it could be that large impacts can melt the material inside the crater or even penetrate into the crust so that the melted material would then fill up the crater. So it would be shallow after the impact. Or it could be that gravity limits the height of crater rims and depths just like it does with mountains and canyons on all planets and moons. And this obviously depends on the strength of gravity and the composition and thickness of the surface layers. Or it could be all of the above rolled into one big science ball of confusion. Because my brain hurts. Okay. So there's the craters. Now we're on to rocks. So it's been discovered that some rune mocks.
Rune mocks. Wow.
Some rune mocks are much older than Rorthok's. Let me say that clearly.
Some Please do. Moon. Somebody out there is really high and is like, wait, that made sense though.
I get it. Whoa. Holy shit. Truly though, there is a Shel Silverstein book called Runny Babbitt that I highly recommend to people of all ages to read that's full of spoonerisms, and it makes me and my child cry laugh every time we read it.
I love those.
Okay. Let me try this again. Some moon rocks have been discovered to be much older than Earth rocks, okay? Which is kind of weird to think about. So this could be from the initial asteroid, like if you like the giant impact theory, that makes sense. Or if you like the simultaneous formation theory, I wrote in my notes theory. That's not a word.
Bad. Theroy Brown. Yeah.
Oh my god. If you like simultaneous formation, well, that sounds kind of sexy actually.
You're never gonna finish the
Jesus Christ.
This is serious, okay?
Get it together. Disrespectful. Simultaneous formation. That could be explained by the fact that the Earth is still geologically active, which the moon wouldn't be because there's nothing going on there. There's no mantle and all of that shit. Either way, it makes sense because new rocks are formed every day on Earth while older rocks are returned to the mantle. We're recycling rocks in a way that does not happen as that we know of on the moon. Or if you have a boner for ancient aliens, this is further proof that the moon was built elsewhere and brought here by an alien race.
I just have a mental image of an alien construction crew dragging a big old moon through space. Like, oh, we got to deliver this moon today by 1 p.m., guys. Get it together. Like,
get it together.
Eat your sandwich in the truck, Harry. Come on.
An ancient alien named Harry eating a sandwich is just good. It's just good. Oh, I'm crying a little bit. Okay, get it together. There's more facts. I have two more facts, and then I have another little bit of something that is adjacent, but I just have to talk about it. Okay.
Okay.
So the moon is less dense than the Earth, as far as we know. Okay. Are you crying?
Please continue.
I might piss myself. Okay. The moon is less dense than the Earth, all right? So that means it has to be a ping pong ball full of lizards controlling our brains, right? That's the obvious explanation.
Precisely.
Yeah. there is another less whack explanation, and that is that if the moon was formed by the giant impact, this would have ejected some of the early Earth's upper crust, which is less dense than the core, into its orbit. So the moon could be made of a big old piece of early Earth's less dense upper crust.
Yeah, that's
now
what
I
I've
want
heard.
Pizza.
Crust. We're hungry.
Oh, we're still hungry. All right, and this is the last one, and this one is going to make your brain probably hurt, but I had to include it because it's so good. Okay. I can't fully grasp it, but I'm going to say it anyway. So Cornell University has a website called Ask an Astronomer, which is so cool. And it is curious.astro.cornell.edu, or you could just Google it. I mean, this is run by volunteers in the astronomy department of Cornell University. I love this so much. I went on there and I was like, don't spend too much time here. You have shit to do. So somebody on there asked the question, can we prove that the moon isn't hollow? And I love this question. I like this very much. Okay, and this was answered by a physicist named Suniti Karunatilake. I'm sorry. This physicist suggests that there are at least two ways to determine the distribution of mass within a body. I'm already lost. one involves movement of inertia parameters. The other involves seismic observations. In the case of the former, They point out that the moment of inertia parameters indicate that the core of the moon is both dense and small, with the rest of the moon consisting of material with nearly constant density. As for the latter, he notes that the moon is the only planetary body besides Earth on which extensive seismic observations have been made. These observations have constrained the thickness of the moon's crust, mantle, and core, suggesting it could not be hollow. I don't know what I just said, but it's a lot of good science stuff and a scientist said it's probably not hollow. So.
Okay. And if I'm sure someone out there is like, okay, yes, that makes sense.
Somebody listening has got to get that. If you get it, please email us a 5-year-old version of that.
Yeah. Just a little further explanation. That's all that's needed. We'll get it.
So I want to end on something I came across while collecting all of this information that I didn't understand. And it is about the moon. So it's relative. It's relevant. My God. But it's mostly just a wonderful metaphor that I thought you, personally, Domini, and the turkey buzzards would really appreciate.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Okay. So have you ever heard the phrase, the moon is made of cheese or green cheese or sometimes even cream cheese?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So this is one of the most popular proverbs from the 16th and 17th English literature. So this is an old, old, old idea. And I love it so fucking much. Okay. So it likely came from the Proverbs of John Heywood, which was written in 1546, where John Heywood claimed, quote, the moon is made of a green cheese. Basically, at that time, that meant to make one believe that the moon is made of green cheese. So basically to hoax somebody. There was never any real historical popular belief that the moon was made of green cheese. It was a proverb used as an example of extreme credulity. So like a meaning, then this was clearly understood by people as early as 1638. Like people knew that this was like a joke. Nobody actually believed it. And this comes from a proverb where a, quote, simpleton, don't love that, sees the moon's reflection in a pool of water and mistakes it for a round cheese wheel.
Oh, I just stumbled across this cheese wheel in the water. Let me dry it off.
How exciting, right? So it's basically just a phrase that was used hundreds of years ago to be like, I just convinced a dumb person that something is real that's not real.
Right.
And I just love that idea so much. And there's a statistician named Dennis Lindley, who used this proverb to explain the necessity of something I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what it is. Cromwell's rule in Bayesian probability. I don't know what that means. You don't need to know what that means in order to understand this quote. It's just a great quote.
Just what it's called. Okay.
I don't know what the fuck Dennis is talking about. And I am honestly I was too tired to dive down another brain-straining ribbit hole, but this is too good, so I had to. Okay, so Dennis says, in other words, if a decision maker thinks something cannot be true and interprets this to mean it has zero probability, he will never be influenced by any data, which is surely absurd. So leave a little probability for the moon being made of green cheese. It can be as small as 1 in 1,000,000, but have it there, since otherwise an army of astronauts returning with samples of the said cheese will leave you unmoved.
I like that.
Don't you love that? It's like, it just can be 1 in 1,000,000. You don't write it off until there's proof. And Carl Sagan also said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So I'm going to remain extremely skeptical, but open to the highly unlikely possibility that the moon is hollow until I am convinced by extraordinary evidence.
But there's that one little chance.
I'm gonna give it the 1 in 1,000,000. But what do you think? Is any of that real?
Oh my gosh. Obviously I don't think the moon is just completely hollow and filled with lizard people. So that's I don't believe that is real.
You don't? I'm sure.
I don't think so. I think it's highly unlikely. But we don't really know, I guess, what is under the surface necessarily. So one of those ideas is probably right, and we don't know which one.
It's very interesting to think about. It's like you said last episode. Get stoned, put on some Dark Side of the Moon.
There you go. I did say Pink Floyd last time, too.
Yeah. And think about, you know, the possibilities. Just imagine. Think. Explore. It's okay.
As long as you're... Please don't... Please, if you start to think that there's a superior race that lives inside the moon, stop there. Just go back.
Stop right now. That is not what we're doing here. We're playing. We're playing in a space, okay? That's not playful. That's ugly.
Don't get ugly. But we could ask the Magic 8 Ball if the moon is hollow.
Let's just ask if the moon is hollow, since we asked if the Earth was hollow. Let's just keep it simple.
Magic 8 Ball, is the moon hollow? The Earth's moon, our moon, is it hollow?
Oh, yeah. I got to specify.
That's right. Let's be specific with this 8 Ball. No, it's not.
Okay, so the Earth is hollow, but the moon is not. Okay.
According to the 8 Ball, yes. And that's all the evidence you need.
I think what I get from this are two things. These last two episodes, I get frustration at the idea that we can't just have like a fun thought experiment that we might discover one day is real or not without somebody making it fucking ugly, like a David Icke or a Clough or whatever the fuck that bastard's name was. And the other thing is that, like, that quote from Dennis Lindley, that is how I operate. I say I am skeptical of pretty much everything, but I do leave a tiny bit of wiggle room, flexible skeptic. A little bit. I'm open to it. I'm open to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day, maybe one day we'll find out.
That would be wild. Somebody needs to go to the moon. Get up in there. Tell me what's going on.
Get up. Get all up in it.
And it better not be Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. They're not allowed. I don't want them to do it. Somebody else.
They're going to tarnish the moon.
We don't need anybody tarnishing the inside of the Earth or the inside of the moon. Send somebody cool.
If you have any suggestions of who should go explore the moon and go in there.
Let's go.
Email us at noneofthisisrealpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, do you want us to talk about a subject you find interesting that we've never talked about? Do you have any theories or thoughts, or did we piss you off? Email us.
Email us. Let us know. Also, if you want to hear more of us talking, you can go to patreon.com/noneofthisisreal and hear more of us talking.
You can hear more of us talking, and you can give us money to fund our mission to find out what the fuck is inside of the moon.
It's just wheels and wheels of cheese. Like,
I'm trying to get some Parmesan of that green cheese. I'm not kidding. It's probably so good.
You need to bring some fruit or something with you to go to accompany the cheese.
A whole charcuterie. Okay.
What else? Go to our... please rate and review us, please.
Please do that. And tell whoever you want to listen. Tell anyone and everyone. Also, there's merch on Redbubble. You know it all.
You know what it is. You know what time it is. It's time to say thank you, Michaela De Leon and Gil Davis, for the theme song.
Oh my gosh, thank you. We love you.
And I want to finally remind everybody that you don't have to believe anything that we talk about.
No, it's probably for the best that you don't. I mean, keep a one in a million chance open for us. But you absolutely do have to believe on yourself.
Oh, you've got to believe all over yourself.
Please rub that green cheese all over your body.
The green cheese of belief.
Oh my God. Love you. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
I feel like an end like that. An end like that?
Oh, let's listen to it.
Yeah.